Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
I would like to bring a message to you today from Romans chapter 2. If you would like to follow along in your Bible, we will be in Romans chapter 2. But I want to say first that in Romans chapter 1, if you have read through the chapter of Romans 1, you know that the Apostle Paul declares all kinds of sin that has been committed, all different types of sin, sin to condemn every soul on this earth. As you read through the chapter, you will see that there's not one person standing on this earth that is exempt from the sin that he mentions in Romans chapter 1. When we read through that chapter, we have to acknowledge that we are included in it. It's not just man and mankind, it includes us. We're included in the sin. Romans 1 condemns every soul. Every soul. Now, how can we say that? How can I say that right now? How can we know that every soul is condemned in sin? Well, if you look with me at chapter 2, Romans chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "Therefore," after he mentions everything he had to say in Romans 1, "therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest." See somebody else doing something and makes a judgment against them. He went on to say, "For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest, doest the same things." You see that? You see somebody doing something and quick to point out faults, quick to acknowledge the sin in others. But God says, not so fast. You do the exact same thing. That's what the Word tells us. You do the exact same thing. Some commit sin or certain sins. Some commit them in the body, physically in the body. They carry it out in the deeds of the body. But all commit sin in the heart and in the mind. All commit sin in the heart and in the mind. All of us. And this is what God says in His Word. There's no difference. There is no difference. Not before God. Sin committed in the mind, sin committed in the heart, is just as much sin before Him as sin committed in the deeds of the flesh. Now, there may be some things that a man or woman can say, well, you know, I've never physically committed that. He may see somebody do something and say, well, I've never actually committed that in the body. But there is nothing, there's nothing on this earth that a man or a woman can say he or she has never committed in the heart. Nothing. Verse 1, again, chapter 2, verse 1 says, "Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doeth the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God?" What he's saying is, people do certain things, and we look at them and we think, well, God's going to get you for that. see somebody do something, anything. We shouldn't be doing that. God's going to get you for that. Well, he said, do you think God's not going to get you? You do the same thing. He's talking to me. This is shocking, isn't it? Have you ever heard anything like this? The scripture is full of it. He said, you do the same thing. And what makes us exempt? If God is going to judge one for sin, what will make another exempt from the very same thing? When they do it, it's sin to us. But when we do it, it's not sin to us. Why is that? Verse 3, Romans 2, verse 3, he said, thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same? That thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Look with me at John 16. Over in John chapter 16, this is our Lord speaking in verse 7. He said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove. That word means convince. He will convince the world of sin. Sin, that's the first thing he will convince of. This Comforter, our Lord goes on to tell us, is his Holy Spirit. And he said, when the Spirit comes, the first thing that he will convince of is sin. Sin. When that truth from the Spirit comes, a man sees his own sin. A woman sees her own sin. God reveals himself. And he reveals his holiness, and he reveals the truth of his word. And when sinners see his holiness, they see their sin compared to him. God's word cries, thou art the man. That's what it cries to me. Thou art the man. And the sinner cries, truth, Lord. You're telling the truth. I know what's in my heart. I know what's in my mind. I want to put on a better front for men and women. I don't want to be this, but I know what's in here. I know what's in here. The sinner cries, I am the man. I am a sinner. I can point the finger all I want to, but I am the man. I am the man. I'm the worst. The Apostle Paul said, I'm the chief. Think about that. I'm the chief. That response, that's the focal point of this message. All right, if you look with me back at Romans 2, it says in Romans 2, verse 1, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doeth the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. We believe God's judgment is true, and it's coming. Verse 3, and thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doeth the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Now watch verse 4. He said, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. He said, do you despise the thought of God giving the riches of his goodness and the riches of his forbearance and the riches of his long-suffering? This is his patience. His mercy, his grace, his patience. He said, do you despise God giving it to them? You see, well, that's a sinner right there. Do you despise God giving it to them like he did to you? Goodness means favor, God's favor. It means grace. Forbearance means not immediately executing vengeance. Forbearance. Not immediately giving what's deserved. That's what it means. It's mercy. Mercy. And long-suffering means patience. He said, do you think that you are more worthy of these things? And that's exactly what man thinks by nature. That's exactly what he thinks. He thinks, well, I can see why God would be gracious and God would be merciful and God would be patient with me. Sure, I can see that. He's saying, don't you realize that you were just as unworthy as they are? You see a sinner and you know that's a sinner. He said, don't you realize that you are just as much a sinner and just as unworthy of God's favor and God's grace and God's mercy and God's patience as they are? None deserve it. None deserve it. God's kindness does not come to the deserving. None are deserving. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Verse 4, he said, despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? There's a wonderful old story from a couple of men who lived a long time ago. A man named William Jay, he was a preacher, and another man you may have heard of, John Newton. John Newton came into William Jay's office one time and speaking about a man that they both knew in town that was just a sinful man, just a man in the gutter. John Newton said, Brother Jay, did you know that God saved that man? William Jay said, I did not know that. That's wonderful. John Newton said, I'll never despair of anybody since God saved him. William Jay said, Brother Newton, I'll never despair of anybody since God saved me. I'll never despair of anybody since God saved me. What he was saying was, I'm the worst. I'm the worst. I'm the man. I'm the chief of sinners. If God is willing to save me, then God can save anybody. Anybody. It is the goodness of God, and it is the mercy of God, and it is the patience of God that He would lead any sinner to repentance. And I put my name at the top of that list. It is such goodness and such mercy and such patience that He would lead any sinner to repentance. And it is the goodness and the mercy and the patience of God that leads sinners to repentance. They see what they are through the Word. It exposes them. And they see just how sinful they truly are. And then they see His goodness toward sinners. And His grace toward sinners and His mercy toward sinners. And they fall in love with it. It is His goodness that leads sinners to repentance. Well, let's take a moment and look at what is repentance. All right, what is repentance? Repentance is something that God does. All right, man cannot do it on his own. God leads sinners to it. That's what we just read. It's the goodness of God that leads sinners to repentance. Hopefully we have seen now that no sinner is worthy of it. We've all committed sin. No sinner is owed the goodness of his repentance. It is the riches of God that any sinner would receive it. It's only the kindness of God that any sinner would receive it. Now, here's our question this morning. What is it? What is it? We hear this word, repentance. What does it truly mean? What is repentance? I want us to see what the Scripture has to say about it. And then I want to give you the definition of the word. Let's look at some Scripture. And then I'll give you the definition of the word, and hopefully the Lord will teach us something about repentance. If you turn with me to Luke 13, over in Luke chapter 13, our Lord said in verse 3, He said, I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Repentance is a necessary component of God's salvation. Our Lord said, if you don't repent, you'll perish. It's a necessary component of God's salvation. So it's vital. It's vital. All right, now look with me at Luke 15. Over just a couple of pages to Luke 15, verse 7 says, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Heaven breaks out in absolute joy every time God leads another sinner to repentance. Absolute joy and rejoicing. Every single time God leads one is necessary. And every time God leads one, heaven breaks out into joy. All right, look with me at Acts chapter 11. Over in Acts chapter 11, verse 18, it says, When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Repentance is unto life. It's unto life. It's a necessary component of God's salvation. All of heaven erupts with joy over it because it's unto life. When it comes, it's unto life. Look with me at Acts chapter 20. Acts 20, verse 21 says, Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance is toward God. I want to emphasize this. I really want to emphasize this. Repentance is not toward us. Repentance is not toward man in any way. Repentance is toward God. All right, it's toward God. Look with me at 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy 2, verse 24, it says, And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. The acknowledging of the truth. I hope this one really sinks in. Repentance is to the acknowledging of the truth. To the acknowledging of the truth. All right. Hebrews 6. Give us just a few more here. Hebrews 6. Hebrews 6, verse 1, it says, Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Repentance is from dead works. It's a very important component of God's salvation. Heaven erupts with joy every time a sinner is brought to it. It's unto life. It's toward God. It's to the acknowledging of the truth. It's from dead works. And if you'll turn with me to 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter 3 verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward." And that is a very important word in that verse, to usward. It means His elect. It means His chosen people. That's who He's writing to. Peter wrote this to a very particular group of people. God's usward, those who have been called to be us with God, us with Christ, His usward. Verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any of the usward should perish, but that all of the usward should come to repentance." All of God's people will come to it. All of God's people. Now, what is it? What exactly is repentance? The definition of the word, this word that we have been looking at specifically, repentance, this word is a change of mind. That's what it means. A change of mind. It means to cause to think differently. When people naturally hear the word repent, I'm sure you've heard that before. When people hear, "You must repent," our Lord came preaching, "Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." When people hear the word repent, they naturally think it means stop sinning. Does that sound familiar? When people naturally hear this word, they think it means turn from your sin and don't do it anymore. If that's what repent means, then none of us have been led to repentance. I haven't, you haven't. If that's what repent means, then none of us have been led to repentance. Because every soul on this earth still lives every day in this same old sinful flesh that we've always lived in. The flesh will always be sinful flesh. Our Lord said, that which is flesh is flesh. Now, our Lord may have been gracious to us, and He may have allowed us to stop committing certain open sins. Sins that were bringing reproach to His name and reproach on His people and reproach on His gospel. Some of His people may have been thieves and they don't steal anymore. That's possible. Some may have been fornicators and they're not fornicators anymore. That's possible. Should we straighten up and fly right as we all have been told to do? Should we do that? Absolutely. Absolutely. Should we strive to obey our Lord and strive to be true followers of Him? Absolutely. Should we just be okay with going deeper into sin and say, "Oh, well, we're just sinners. It doesn't matter. Let's just go deeper into vile rebellion against God." Should we do that? No. The Scripture says, God forbid. God forbid. But here's the truth of the matter. The beginning of Romans 2 just told us that as long as we are in this body of flesh, we are never going to have clean hands and a pure heart, one that's free from guilt. He said, you do it too. Never. Therefore, as much as we wish we could, we're never going to be able to turn from our sin. Thankfully, that is not what the word repent means. Not at all. It means a change of mind. It's something that every true believer possesses. Every true believer. Physically, mentally, spiritually. All right, when we start out in this world, we think we know who God is. God reveals Himself, and we have a change of mind. He's not waiting on me to do anything. God is God. He does what He will with whom He will. When we start out in this world, we think we know something of ourselves. We think, well, I'm a pretty good person. Oh, I'm not perfect. Have I sinned? Yeah, a couple of times, but I'm a pretty good person. As soon as God brings repentance, we cry, oh, I'm a wretched sinner. I have a changed mind about myself. I have a changed mind about God. I have a changed mind about myself. Therefore, that will bring a changed mind about salvation. How men and women are saved. I cannot save myself. You cannot save yourself. No flesh will be saved by trying to obey the law. Flesh is sinful flesh. The only hope that any sinner has is in the blood of Jesus Christ. That God would send His Son, and His Son would shed His blood as a payment and a sacrifice to God to cover the sin of all of His people. Our only hope is in the work of Christ. And once repentance comes, that change of mind comes. And a sinner cries, I see the truth. I see the truth of this word. We read this word and think, well, how can this be? This condemns me. Here's how it can be. God, in all of His holiness, sent His Son. And His Son took everything that condemned us upon Himself. And everything that commended us to God, He laid it on us. Took our sin upon Himself, laid all of that perfection on us, and died for us, and we live because of that. We live in Him. When that repentance comes, a sinner will cry, I see it. I have a changed mind about all things. May God bring that repentance and grant life from it. Till next week, may the Lord bless His word to our hearts.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, log on to our website at ksgctn.org. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship at 10:45 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m., Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Please tune in next week for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.